Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to Torture Cast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is Torture Cast.
It's Tuesday, July 12th, 2022, and this is episode 257 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of your suddenly mediocre San Francisco Giants. I'm your host, Chad King, and we got the full complement of crew on today. We're going to start with Willie, the hey man. This is his first podcast back in the city of fog, the city of love. Welcome back, Willie.
Yeah, the city of sunlight right now. It's been beautiful since I've been back. Every day, it's like, it's funny though, I've been looking at the weather in Austin, and every day there has been like 105, just brutal, and I'm like, sunny, warm, but I can still wear a sweatshirt, and I'm okay. I've been loving it, man. I've been so happy to be back in the city. And we got to go to a game, which I guess we haven't talked about yet on the show, right?
No, we have not.
We did not do a bonus show from that. So, yeah, I've now actually been back to the ballpark since being back in San Francisco.
Yeah. And then, of course, joining us, Eric Nathanson. How you doing, man?
I am the opposite of Willie, as I am melting in 105, 107 degree heat right now. It's so funny you say that because Texas is getting hammered right now with the heat, and they're not ready for it. But other than that, I'm tired of watching mediocre baseball. But I guess we're here to talk about it because we love the Giants. So, might as well move forward and see where we're at.
I mean, come on. Look, we've had this podcast. Willie's been doing this since 2011. I joined shortly into 2011. So this is what, the 11th or 12th season? Has every season been good? Hell no.
Three incredible ones. And in between that, there's been a lot like this. Worse than this, I would be honest.
Yeah, think about that. Five times out of those seasons, right? So five out of the 11 made the playoffs. That means more than half the time this team has not even made the playoffs. And we still come. We still are here. We're still talking about this. We love them. We don't care if they're – well, no, we would care if they were winless. But I think we would shut down shop at that point. They might even be contracted at that point. But anyway, yeah, we're here talking about the Giants. We haven't been able to go for a couple of weeks. Yours truly was on a research cruise for a couple of weeks, so couldn't record during that time. And to be honest, I haven't seen much Giants baseball since then. And like Eric said in pre-show, that was probably a good thing.
you didn't miss a lot.
No.
I told Chad he was lucky.
Yeah, 5-11 since we last recorded, and Willie and I were at least one of those five wins. So that kind of helped a little bit. But you know, the good news, they've won two out of the last three. The bad news, of course, 5-11. They are now only one game above 500, gentlemen, 43-42. I did not think they would regress to the mean like this. A whole whopping 13 games behind the Dodgers. They are now on the outside looking in, the wild card, two games back of Philly and St. Louis. So the problem is, again, we're starting to get stacked up in the wild card race. There are three teams that make it, and currently there are five teams within those two games, and then the Marlins are two games back of the Giants. So this could be tight. This is something I got to admit. A month ago, I thought the wild card as a minimum was just not even an issue. Like, it was like, oh, yeah, they're going to at least grab a wild card. Let's go for the West. Well, now the West is basically untouchable. They're not catching the Dodgers in 13 games after the All-Star break. So now it's all about the wild card, and it's still within reach. So for a lot of the fans that are like, sell everything, trade everyone, it's like, dude, they're two games out. Like, come on, let's be a little optimistic here. They can go on a streak, but I don't know. I mean, you guys have been watching more Giants baseball than I have, Eric, over the last 2 weeks. What's been the bugaboo? What's been their Achilles heel?
Loading the bases. Apparently, the biggest Achilles heel is when they load the bases, they can't score runs. No, I kid, but it does seem like that's the case. They're not getting clutch hits. They're not putting together the big innings. Their approach to the plate seems to be a mess lately. As I was talking with some of my buddies yesterday, it seems like it's 0-1 on every single hitter, every at-bat. And it really seems to be the hitting approach. Because if you look through the statistics, the pitching has been a lot better. You combine the batting and the fielding, it's just kind of combined for this mediocrity that they've shown. It's not even mediocrity anymore, being, what did you just say, 4-5-11?
Well, I just looked.
5-11? Yeah.
I just looked and we're 3-9 since me and Chad went to the game.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think we were going to win again. I thought, like, because that was a great
connect. Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
It's like, I think my prep, because I broke my losing streak, my personal losing streak at that game. And it was a close one. You and I were sweating bullets there at the end. But the City Connects came through again. So apparently I'm only going to go on Tuesday nights. I'm not going tonight. But point being, I was out on the boat and I was like, am I missing something? Did they not win a game in like a week? And I'm looking and I'm like, every night I was checking the box scores and I'm like,
we were up 4-0 in that game and then gave up 3 runs, didn't score again. Then we lost, 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 then we lost. And then finally got a win against the Diamondbacks. And by the way, some of these losses were freaking terrible. I mean, 4-13 against the White Sox. I don't know. I mean, luckily we did finally have our 12-0 win, which seemed like maybe we turned the corner, being the Padres 12-0, having 2 quality starts from, obviously Rodon has been good, but finally getting a good start from Wood, it seemed like everyone was like, oh, there it is. We turned the corner. We beat the Padres 2 games in a row. And then, no, we're just going to lose to the Diamondbacks the very next night. So forget all the momentum talk. It's just this team right now, no consistency at all. I can't pick a guy who's been good during this stretch. I mean, it felt like Longoria was okay, but then he had a horrible strikeout in a really clutch situation. It's just up and down the lineup. It's just and throughout the pitching staff too. Rodon's been the only guy that you can look at and say, this guy's actually performing, and nobody else seems to be able to do it. So it doesn't matter how well he performs, we don't score. So it's I would like to say, oh, it's just a rough patch. But no, it just looks like a bad baseball team right now. I can't make excuses. I'm trying to be positive right now. But
yeah, that's the tough part is trying to stay positive. The Giants have been over 500 since the first week of last season, which is the longest streak in baseball. And they're flirting with that 500 again, just like they were over the weekend when they were close to getting it and they took those 2 games from the Padres, which just goes to show you their, mediocrity is just the word that we keep coming up with. And when you look through the stats, they're right in the middle of the pack when it comes to like homers and average and OPS and things like that. And it's not going to get it done, especially when they're having a tough time fielding the baseball. And Webb, I think Webb's been doing fantastic as well. I mean, he shoved on Thursday night last week against the Padres, but got absolutely no run support. And Rodon, the team is 6-7 and Rodon starts, which blows my mind because of how well he's pitching. So it's like you said, there's just the whole team's not complimenting each other right now.
No. People are talking about how Rodon should be in the All-Star game, and I'm like, 6-7 in his starts. Oh, is he now?
He is now.
All right.
No, he's been one of the few highlights the last couple of games or the couple of weeks. In fact, I'm just going to talk about it. It was in our Who's Hot. But, Rodon, his last 5 starts, a 1.8 ERA, just like Webb, his last 5 games, a 1.32 ERA and a sub-1 whip. I mean, those 2 guys have been carrying the pitching staff. It's really been the hitting that's been – it was funny because usually in May, the culprit was the pitching. They had the second worst ERA in all of the major leagues, right? Right now, they're kind of right in the middle is in terms of ERA. They're 13th, right? So there we are, middle of the pack, mediocre. Yeah. They're hitting those third worst over the last 2 weeks, hitting .209. And in fact, these are all the regulars – I shouldn't say regulars, but the Giants players who are hitting under .200 during that stretch. Estrada, Crawford, Walton, Wade, Bart, LaStella, Yaz, and even Peterson are all hitting under .200 right now. For the 2 weeks, and any one player is going to even, Mike Trout's going to pull a 2 week period in which they hit under .200. But when you have that many guys doing it at the same time, that's the problem, right? You don't want that slump to hit everyone at once. And that's what's happening right now. So power numbers have fallen off the table. Average, getting on base, like you said, the clutch situations. I mean, look what happened last night's game, right? They're down. They come back. It's a 4-3 game, bases loaded with one out. And Krog grounds out in a double play. And, you know, if he had was a microsecond faster, that run scores because the bases were loaded. And it's a tie game, and it changes the complexion of the game. These are the little things that are biting them in the ass right now. And it's just ticking off a lot of Giants fans. And yeah, we got to endure these ups and downs. It's normal in a baseball season. But I think Rodon's start, the complete game, where he threw his last pitch at 99 miles an hour, his hardest pitch of the game, then follow that up with a 12-0 shellacking. You're thinking, okay, this is when they snap out of the funk. And like you said, Willie, it's just like, oh, we're just going to lose to the lowly Diamondbacks and get right back into it. And it just kind of like,
yeah,
little, it's deflated.
It's a very frustrating brand of baseball too right now, because like you said, it's double plays in clutch situations. And whenever they're not grounding into a double play, it's like they're popping up weakly to the shortstop or the second baseman. It's not even like they're putting a charge into the baseball, you know? It's just, you're watching pop-up after pop-up after pop-up, and you're like, guys, like, I understand that the mindset was to lift the ball, and that was what was working in that 107-win season that seems like it was 10 years ago at this point. But, you know, it's now what we're doing is we're just lifting the ball straight up into the air. We're not even getting any juice behind it. So something's got to – they got to adjust. Like, right now, that whole, like, we'll look for a pitch and we'll drive it, just not working. So you know, you have to be able to adjust, and it's almost like these guys can't figure it out.
They're not the like mindset. Hitting right. They're not hitting the ball the other way in situations that call for it. They're not like that Crawford situation that you brought up last night. It was 2-0 count on him.
Yeah,
and he weakly rolled it over instead of trying to slap that pitch through the left side, which we all know Crawford does when he's going good. He tried to do what Willie was talking about and yank it out of the ballpark, and he topped it right over and rolled into that double play. And I mean, it was that close, but still, maybe hit the ball harder and put the. I mean, had he hit the ball harder, it would have been out by 5 more feet, but to the outfield and do things like that instead of just this tapping. I'm with you, Willie. That hunt for your pitch approach is not working because, like I said, they're behind 0-1 like every single count. I can't stand to watch Darren Ruff or Mike Yastrzemski take another fastball down the center of the plate on the first pitch of the at-bat and then not get another good pitch the rest of the at-bat. It's like, well, if you're hunting for the right pitch and it comes in the first pitch, that's the pitch you go for. You know, sometimes that's the best pitch you'll see.
But they're not looking for – they're not predicting fastball down the middle. They're predicting a breaking ball or something in that count because that's what the tendencies are. But it's almost like the league has now adjusted to what the Giants are doing. And they haven't adjusted back. But, you know, like we've talked about a lot how there was a period last year where Gausman, right, had this amazing first half. And then everybody adjusted and stopped swinging and just started looking fastball. And so all that, you know, all of his downward breaking sink wasn't working anymore. And he wasn't adjusting, right? It's like the entire team has just gotten so stuck in the mindset that worked so well. Like I said, 107 wins, and the offense, you know, like it turned into career years for guys like Crawford. Belt would have had a career year. Well, he kind of did anyway, but would have had even more without the injuries. And these guys all saw how well it worked or something, and now they can't break out of that. And it's like at a certain point, like I thought at the beginning of the season, it seemed like the Giants were being very creative in their approach. We saw a lot of bunting, and like, you know, it seemed like they were doing like hit and runs. They were doing interesting things, and now all of a sudden, it's just station to station. If that, we're not even taking walks anymore. You know, it's like everyone's up there just trying to jack the ball over the fence. And it's not, it's just, that's bad baseball. That you tweeted the other day that you just, this is just bad baseball, Eric. It's just hard to watch. And that's the one thing. I can get over a losing streak, but just watching a team be uninteresting is just not what I'm used to with the Giants. So it's really frustrating.
It's boring.
It's boring.
It is. It is so boring. This team is so freaking boring. And it speaks to what Bags wrote about a couple weeks ago in the article that we never got a chance to talk about this kind of stuff, about how Giants management is stuck in like 2010, like the experience at the ballpark. And you guys were there like shortly after this article was written. And you can probably attest to the fact that they're still doing the same shtick between innings and same types of things, and that they're not trying to engage the fans in a better way. And that extends all the way to the product on the field. There's something to be said for having stars, and there's something to be said for having everyday players. And the Giants are so deep in this platoon muck that they're kind of getting screwed over in this aspect, and it makes for boring baseball. You know, the kid who's showing up to the game for the first time doesn't want to hear, well, Jock Peterson's not facing a lefty because his OPS is 3 points lower than this righty who's going to – I mean, they don't care. They want to see their favorites. And frankly, I do too. I don't care that I'm 43 years old. I still want to see the stars. I still want to see the teams. And they need some everyday players. And I think we're starting to see the effects of the platoon. These guys aren't playing on an everyday basis. These guys are not getting into rhythms. And it's hurting them. It really is.
Yeah, the whole, you know, they pinch hit for Brandon Belt last night. They've pinch hit for Jock Peterson numerous times. And look, it's sometimes it's going to work out, sometimes it isn't. But it just seems like it's not working out a heck of a lot more than last year. Last year, they set the major league record for pinch hit home runs with, what, 18? You know how many they have this year?
One, and it happened on Wednesday. It happened on Wednesday by Darren Ruff.
It just happened. So, I mean, it's like they're pinch hitting in very similar situations. It's just not working this year, right? They're clearly not even going to hit 10 pinch hit home runs this year, let alone six or seven. So they're way off last year's pace. And so, you know, part of it is luck. Part of it is the stars aligning last year with this strategy. But game, you know, the baseball is a game of adjustments. And there's no doubt in my mind, no proof of this, that, you know, they have these advanced analytics and scouting departments all across the league now, right? It's very pervasive. The Giants have taken it to that infinite level. But other teams know that this is how the Giants play. So they come into a series expecting, okay, according to the stats, the Giants who look for specific pitches will most likely be looking for pitch X from our pitcher A. So let's say on the first at-bat to Yaz, instead of, you know, if he's looking for that first pitch curveball, go ahead, pump one in the high zone. He's going to take it. Get that 0-1 advantage, right? And so I think those are the little things that other teams might be doing right now to get the hitters in that hole and get them in higher or, you know, leverage situations with that, which are more difficult for the hitter to hit in. So, yeah. I mean, that could be part of it. And then also just, you know, things just can't keep happening at that high level that they did last year. They got to regress.
No, I mean, that was an anomaly for sure. And I think we have to understand that 107 wins from a team, like you said, without everyday players and without superstars, you know,
hell, any team, right? 107 is insane.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers won 106, and that's, you know, like that was an amazing season for them, and they have a ton of superstars. But I mean, you are right. It's like it is hard to go to the field, and then like the biggest story that day is like Luis Gonzalez or something like that. Like that's, you know, it's just you want to see. Yeah, Jock Peterson was the big story, and now he's in a slump too. So it's like, okay, well then, what are we hoping to see? Like Wilmer Flores is going to, you know, hit a hard ground ball to third and get thrown out by 7 feet because he's slow as hell. That's what we're looking forward to. You know, it's just, we don't have a big draw right now. And at least we, at the beginning of the season, we were still winning. So it still felt okay. But it's like this, everything just caught up with us. It's like, we couldn't continue to play that far above what our kind of normal is. Right. And we're just overachieving for so long. And now it's just like,
yeah, that's the thing.
It's come back. You know, we've come back down to the mean. Right. That's what it feels like.
Yep. So imagine you guys are 12 years old and you've been a fan of the Giants for, you know, whatever, 3 years, like you're been old enough to understand who the Giants are, what they do and all that. Whose jersey do you buy right now?
Lamont Wade, I guess.
Buster Posey.
Buster Posey.
See, so that's the thing.
Yeah,
that I was actually, Eric hit my point exactly. It's like Buster Posey was kind of one of the last stars on this team.
Yeah,
you know, and he
was. Well, Brandon Crawford's a safe one, right? You can buy a Brandon.
Yeah, Crawford would probably be a safe one, and he's got one more year with the team. And I would think.
I hope nobody bought a Jake McGee because.
Whoops. Number 17. Oh, it's also Aubrey Hefsel, number two.
Curse really number.
Representation, curse number. Yeah, it's interesting because Crawford is probably one of the only pulls you could take from the current team. That's, you know, it's been around for a while and is kind of a star, not a superstar, but a star. But Buster Posey is really the last superstar in this team. And now that he is retired, I think there's a lot of his impact that is missing. There's no doubt.
There you go. Yep.
There's no doubt. There's so much of his impact is me. I think with all things being equal, if Buster Posey was on this team, the Giants would have about five more wins than they do right now.
Well, yeah.
I said the same thing out loud yesterday. That's crazy.
Yeah. I posted about this on Reddit recently because somebody said some post about, you know, like, can anybody point out why this team is so much worse than last year? And my comment was, turns out Buster Posey makes a pretty big difference or something like that. Yeah. That was like my comment. And somebody was like, well, can you explain why? And I was like, well, you replaced the catcher position who was hitting well above the league average to now suddenly well below the league average. And you've also replaced one of the best pitch calling catchers in baseball with a rookie and a journeyman and now another journeyman. And, you know, and now you've also taken the biggest leader out of the locker room and you're now your leader is basically an internet memester who likes to put a captain's hat on and not like an actual quiet leader in the clubhouse type, right? So it's like, as fun as Brandon Belt is as the captain, let's be real. He's like not even in the lineup most of the time. And he's a funny guy who will keep it loose, but he's not a guy that, like, let's say you're a young kid and you're struggling. You're not going to go up to him and get a whole bunch of, like, Buster knowledge. You're going to get, you know, hey, you know, keep it together, kid, and a funny joke and a slap on the butt. You know, like, that's the leadership Brandon Belt offers. Crawford's a guy who, you know, he's got the veteran presence, but he's always been a quiet guy. It's not the quiet stoicism of Buster Posey. It's more just like, yeah, I just don't go out there and do my job. We don't have that guy. I don't even know who you could look to at this point. He just doesn't exist on this team. So it's a huge hole. It's a huge hole. And now we're realizing we needed to go get somebody. I don't know who that was, but it wasn't, you know, like putting Jock Peterson in seemed great at the beginning when he's got 17 home runs so quickly. But yeah, we just, Buster Posey, you can't replace. You just can't replace them. Yeah.
But Jock hasn't homered in 2.5 weeks. So, like, what does it even matter at this point? And Buster, I've heard some rumblings from some people I know that Buster might have decided to retire partly because he didn't want to play for Gabe again. And he was not a fan of the way Gabe ran his clubhouse. That you have to wonder if the leadership that Buster did put forward wasn't necessarily as well received by a Kapler as it would be by a Bochy. Now, I'm sure Kapler's happy to have a Hall of Famer as a leader in his clubhouse. But the way Cap goes about things maybe didn't line up totally with the way Buster went about things, you know, and I'm not saying that's like the main reason. Obviously he wanted to go spend time with his family. His knees are probably killing him at this point in his life, but it probably helped drive him away. You know, he didn't realize what he was missing when he sat out 2020 with Gabe Kapler. And then he came back, he played one season under Kapler and he decided I'm done. And I don't think we can dismiss that as a factor in it at this point, just based on what we've seen. And like you said, Buster, he held the glue together. He was the guy you could count on. He was the guy in the locker room that was going to lead the other players. And while there is a Crawford there and a Longoria there and a Belt there, they don't have the resume that Buster Posey had. And so it's a little harder for some of the younger players to listen at that point. It's not the same team without Buster Posey. They're missing the leadership angle. Yeah. And Joey Bart just absolutely, you know, fell off a cliff and isn't doing what they expect. It's like you said, it's a bunch of platoon journeyman guys. And now with Casale going down and Bart coming back, we get to see more of the same. Bart has seen 95 pitches of 95 miles or more this season. He has one hit on those 95 pitches. So, yeah, right. You know, that used to be the Giants' mark. They could hit a fastball pitcher, no problem. And they're not doing that same thing. And I think that's where you miss Buster a lot of the time. You know, forget that his pop times are better than Bart and wins in the first place. The leadership, the glue, everything. It's like you said, you popped into Reddit and said, who knew Buster was such a big part? And it's like, well, apparently Buster knew.
Well, yeah. I, you know, I... I mean, as you could say, like, it might be tough for Buster to play under a different manager. He's played for the same team his entire career and the same manager basically for his entire career, right? And then suddenly he's got a different guy in there. So that might have a factor, but I don't know, man. I think Kapler is just such a chill guy. I don't know. It's hard to believe that Buster just didn't like him. You know, like,
you hit the nail there, though. Kapler's such a chill guy. When was the last time you saw Kapler get kicked out of a game defending his team?
Yeah. It's not his style, right?
But that's sometimes you need that, though. You know, even the most laid back managers will flip the spread every now and then. I've never heard reports that Kapler's doing that kind of crap. All I hear is, well, we did this. Like last night, we had to pinch hit for Belt in that situation because otherwise we wouldn't have forced the righty lefty matchup. Well, I get it. The OPS is like 100 points difference between Slater and Belt against left-handers, but I still would rather have Slater pinch hitting for Wade next than for Gonzo next than pinch hitting for Brandon Belt. It's you're not putting them in. They're claiming they're putting them in a position to succeed, but the players don't seem to be taking the reins as these are positions to succeed. And it's a mishmash of everything at this point. The lack of leadership. And that's why I say Gabe, I mean, he doesn't fight for his team. I've never seen him fight for it. He ambles out. So what'd you see on that one? Okay, all right, I'm gonna go do some yoga now. I mean, like, where's the fight?
I'm gonna expose my sphincter to the sun.
Well, here's the thing, Gabe Kapler is in better shape than everybody, better looking than everybody. What does he have to be angry about? You know what I mean? But it's true. Bruce Bochy was, just a old catcher with bad knees and a big ass head. Obviously, he wakes up angry, right? So Kapler's just, he doesn't have it in him. It's hard for me to like I know it's like we want to point at something, but it's hard for me to point at Kapler as the issue right now. I just really think it's just the way the team is set up. We're just played above our heads and we can't do it anymore. And we need somebody who can do what Buster Posey did, which is be a better than average player at his position and be somebody that the rest of the team can look up to as an example. And I don't know who that is going forward. And the problem is, once again, the Giants are still in contention for something. So what do we do here? Do we just like blow it all up and play the young guys? No, we're only a couple games out of the wild card, right? So it's like we just have to put up with mediocrity for the rest of the year, basically, or somehow magically turn it around. I don't really know what the answer is.
So
this is what Gabe does.
I think clearly Gabe might have increased his alcohol consumption. No, I kid. But for those of you watching on the live stream, or if later you want to watch it on Facebook because you can't see this on the audio, that game that Willie and I went to, they've changed the post-game pressers, and they are now in Gabe's office in the clubhouse. So we all like squeezed into his office and stood around him as he sat down in his little chair with the banner behind him. But I was standing kind of next to his bar cart behind him. And so I have on screen his liquor selection on his bar here. So he's been known to be a refined drinker, and he loves his T-bone or tomahawk steaks, but it looks like he's got a little McClellan back
there. He's not drinking enough of that Michter's Rye, though. That Michter's is good stuff,
man. No, the Michter's Rye is...
Clearly he likes this. There. The scotch is like all drinking up, and
I'll take the McCallum.
The McCallum 12 year is a great bottle, but that Michter's, man. I need to go in there and show him how to make like a really good Manhattan or something, because
he's
just
right?
Got that sitting there, dude. That's good stuff.
What's Monkey Shoulder? I haven't heard of that one.
Monkey Shoulder is a scotch, a blended scotch, and it's actually really good, but it's pretty cheap too. It's only like maybe 18, 20 bucks a bottle. Oh, the McCallum 12 year is probably more close to like 35-40. But it's another good kind of mid-range. It's not crazy expensive. Johnny Walker Black Label is awful. I don't know why people like it, but it's just bad in my opinion.
Not bad.
American Scotch, not the best.
Not the best. So anyway, unusual that they did that. By the way, that game, we had some good fun. They obviously won that game, but happened to get a couple of video clips of Yaz making a nice catch out there and a couple other things. It was good overall. But good times were not to be had over the next couple of weeks, unfortunately.
Ugh. No.
All right. Well, let's talk about a little bit happier things. The All-Star game, of course, is coming up next week, and they announced all of the starters and reserves over the past week. And Jock Peterson was voted in as one of your starting outfielders for the National League team. And it appeared that was going to be their lone All-Star representative, as Carlos Rodon and Logan Webb were snubbed. However, just about an hour or two ago, they did announce that Carlos Rodon is making the team as a replacement for Josh Hader, who is stepping aside. Okay. So Rodon is on the team. So we have two Giants on the team. And this is they were showing highlights again of the 2012 All-Star team, which was or All-Star game, which was basically like the Giants versus the American League. And of course, Melky Cabrera won the MVP. Pablo Sandoval ripped a double off of Justin Verlander that game, which was like premonitions of things.
Foreshadowing.
A little foreshadowing for 5 months from then. So it was a hell of a game by the Giants. And I don't know. I just, being a fan, it is always so awesome to see, you know, 5, 6, 7 players of your team on the team, but then doing well, becoming MVP, having an impact on the game. And this is just kind of like, you know, back to two players. Hell, it was one before an hour or two ago. So not much excitement for the Giants in terms of playing down there. But I do think it's going to be fun to watch Jock be announced in Dodger Stadium as a starter. So I think that's kind of cool. Look, a lot of Dodger fans are going to be there. But, you know, they sell a lot of the seats to kind of other baseball fans. So I think you're going to hear some boos. But I don't think it'll be too bad. I don't know. What do you think, Eric?
I mean, I'm with you. There might be some boos, but I'm not sure it'll be too bad at all, especially because they really like Jock in L.A. Every place Jock's gone, they liked him. I mean, we saw the Pearls last year in Atlanta. They were big fans of him in L.A., and everybody, you know, got behind his brother at that time. I'm hoping he also gets into the Derby this year, although he's tailed off a little bit, so he might not be as big of a draw anymore. But yeah. I think he'll get a good reception. You know, Roger Munter had a tweet yesterday, and I totally agree with this. You know, when we were younger, when the Giants made the All-Star team, it was like one or two guys that made it because the Giants weren't very good when we were younger.
Yep.
And the most thrilling moment of the All-Star game as a Giants fan was sometimes that introduction when the Giants player would doff his cap and step back on the line, because that might be the only time we see him in the entire game. And it was like, yeah, that's my guy, you know, and it makes you feel proud to see your guy. So in that respect, you know, I love that Jock is that guy for them this season, and he should get, you know, pretty good reception in general. I mean, he's won 2 World Series in a row at this point. So the Dodgers fans have to appreciate what he did for them in 2020. And they didn't really seem to get on his case too much when the Giants were in town. So I think in general, they'll be happy to see Jock, you know, and plus it's the exhibition. So the crowd's going to be so mixed anyways, considering it's LA, and it's probably not going to be just dominated by Dodgers fans. I mean, this is like a destination type All-Star.
Oh, yeah. For sure, it's in LA. So you're going to see a lot of those ambivalent. You're going to see a lot of fans there that just paid money to go. There may not even be fans per se. You know, they're just wanting to be seen. Basically, a lot of stars.
Yeah, it's like the Super Bowl, like that a little bit.
It is an interesting question, by the way. Do we believe Jock Peterson should have been a starter in the outfield? Because I mean, I'm glad, but I don't know if he's actually the third best outfielder in baseball this season. So
he's not even in the top 12 on the team in WAR, according to Baseball Reference.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it speaks to how cool he is. You know what I mean? Like, he's just very popular. People like him, and he's been now at a few places, and he's been popular everywhere he goes. So I mean, I'm happy for him, but it's hilarious to me. Who are the other two starters, by the way? It's Mookie Betts and
Acuna.
Who's the third? Who?
Yeah, Acuna.
Acuna? Okay, so yeah, it's like not Juan Soto, not Schwarber, not, you know, it's like, it's just kind of interesting, but whatever. I don't know. I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Might as well.
Like, with the way things are going this season, I'm just happy we have more than one. I'm like, okay, cool. These two guys, that's fun. And like you said, like the most exciting moment, unless Jock gets in there, and I mean, you know he's going to swing as hard as he can, unless he gets in there and does something fun, it is going to be the most exciting moment when both those guys get announced. and I don't even know if I'm really going to watch the game. I'm probably going to watch highlights, and hopefully the home run derby will be fun. But I assume that Alonso's just going to win it again. That's kind of.
What, you don't think Pujols has it in him? Come on.
By the way, Pujols yesterday.
Pujols in the Derby.
Pujols yesterday moved into third place for most extra base hits in all of all time. Pretty crazy. It's fun to watch him have like this one more year where he's like you're seeing like he's moving into these like he's about to pass like Musial for most games played. It's crazy how long that guy's been around.
Yeah, the whole legacy selections, isn't that odd? I mean, I'm not saying I'm against it, but you know, you got Pujols and Cabrera, and it's just kind of like, oh, just throwing him in. Just like,
well,
hey.
I don't mind them for the All-Star game itself, but there's no way Pujols should be in the Derby. I don't want to watch an old man swing a bat 40 times.
Yeah. No, I agree.
By the way, I think they similar to the dunk contest, I really do feel like it's time to take a look at the home run derby and adjust it. Because we don't want we want the best home run hitters in baseball to want to be in it. We don't want them thinking, oh, I'm not going to go in there and tire myself out for the second half of the season, right? So I think we need to adjust it to make it a lot shorter and a lot more explosive. It's ridiculous that it's just it's like marathon. And at the end, the guys are just like, you know, huffing wind and like chugging Gatorade. And it's like, let's just swing as hard as you can, like five times, you know, and then maybe make the winner like the guy who hit one the farthest or something like that. This whole like I gotta hit like them. I don't know. I still like watching a guy hit like 30 home runs, but he's just gassed, you know. And it's just I don't know. It's like
that's fine. Like, the dunk contest gassed for my entertainment. You're getting paid $10 million a year. Go get gassed for my entertainment. That's what.
Yeah,
you're there
but they don't even want to do it though, and that's the problem. So you're not getting the best guys, you know. And it's like with the dunk contest, like LeBron's never gonna do it because why the hell is he gonna go out there? You know, it's like, but LeBron, just throw it down super hard one time for us, you know, and then you're done. Like this whole thing where you got to like go behind the back and a 360 and like we've seen it before anyway. And like I've seen guys hit home runs before. I don't know. It's like, let me just watch you mash as hard as you can a few times and then go sit down because it's I don't know. To me, it's like the game and the home run derby, like they have been as exciting as they'll ever be. And now it's just kind of for fun, and we just, I don't know, it's time to adjust. We're going to make it all these changes. Let's make a few more. That way the best guys, Aaron Judge is not going to be in it, right?
Right.
That's the guy we all want to see, you know?
Of course.
Swing as hard as he can, five times. And it goes to.
Yeah. There's always a couple of selections every year where you're like, how did that guy get in? Like, how long?
Yeah, right. Well, because nobody else will do it.
Yeah. Exactly. They have to go down that list. And I'm sure there's always that one guy going, you want me? I got like nine home runs. Yeah, we want you. Oh, okay.
The fact that a guy like Alonso is actually doing it, you know, is good because he is definitely like the guy who freaking smashes the ball harder than anybody else. But yeah, it's like you're not going to get your Barry Bonds. Like Shohei Ohtani, he's not going to do it, right? Like these guys don't want to hurt themselves.
Well, Ohtani did it last year, and he just stunk. He last year. He was so bad.
But, I mean, it's crazy to even ask him to do it. It's like, yeah, start every fifth day, be in the lineup every day. Oh, and then go out and tire yourself out when you should have 3 days off instead.
Yeah. No, it's the I end up recording it. I don't usually watch it live because of all the commercials. Because it is a long event. I agree with you there, Willie. I like the event, but – with commercials, it goes for like 3.5 hours. It's like, crap, this is a long time, right? So, I usually record it, start watching about an hour in, so I could just fast forward through all the commercials.
Yep, same.
At this point, too, like, you know, think about the dunk contest. Does anybody even watch it anymore, or do you just watch, like, the winning highlights or whatever? Like, the three-point contest is much more entertaining.
I don't even watch that, I don't even care anymore.
Yeah.
It's not Dominique Wilkins, just need to figure out, you know?
Yeah, like how do you make it more entertaining, right? And I think the way you make it more entertaining is, it's like, I want to see you hit a freaking bomb. Like, give me some baseballs that aren't in humidors. Like, tighten everything on them. Like, do everything you can to make the livest baseballs you can. And then, just throw a few pitches and have them swing as hard as they can. I want to see a 500-foot home run. I just want to see one. I don't need to see 30 home runs that barely went over the fence. You know what I mean?
So let's adjust from home runs to pitching. I thought this was just I guess it wasn't unfounded, but I didn't even see it coming this soon. But I shouldn't say long term, but fairly successful closer Jake McGee was DFA'd this week. And I mean, look, for a guy who's a one trick pony, well, really two trick pony now, but he just wasn't getting the results he needed this year. 7.17 ERA in 24 games. Only 11 strikeouts and 21 and a third. I mean, he's old. He's 36 years old. And I think he just finally fell off the table. That back end of the bell curve caught up with him. I think that's it.
Well, he doesn't actually throw that hard for a fastball guy either. No. So it was all about that location up and his ability to pinpoint it. And now it's like you said, I think it's just, he just played 1 year too long. He had a solid streak last year, but he wasn't good for an entire season. So, I was confused why he was still getting run out there, to be honest. So, and it was just the contract, I think, really, and just the, just his reputation, right? That was the reason he was still in there. If he was anybody else, I think Marte is a much better pitcher at this point than McGee is. So I'm happy to see him in there. And it was just time to cut him loose, man. I'm sorry, McGee. You'll probably get picked up by somebody, right? Has he been picked up yet? I assume some team out there is going to want a veteran.
But somebody will. He's a lefty reliever. Some contending team is going to want a lefty reliever for the bullpen. I mean, the Giants traded for Tony Watson last year. You know what I mean? When we're all like, really? I mean, you just let him go. Why are you bringing him back? But we need a lefty reliever. So McGee will land on his feet somewhere. But, I mean, he might be running out of stops. He was so good when he came back from the IL, and then he just consistently was getting hit. And the other night, he just gave up hit after hit after hit. And the Giants had had enough. Plus, that day, everybody was talking about there's a big shakeup coming to the Giants. DFAing Jake McGee is not a big shakeup.
No.
Bringing up Junior Marte is not a big shakeup. Give me something like trading Yastrzemski would be a big shakeup.
Oh, my God.
Trading Rodon would be a big shakeup. Rodon's the bad example. He's just got the highest value right now. Those are shakeups. Yeah. These are not shakeups. You're just trying to inject life into your team. And that's what the Giants need to do. And, poor McGee, he looked to be the dominating closer, hopefully early on last year, but he's not. And, the Giants just have to eat it on that one. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't.
I'm going to have to take off here in a second because I'm supposed to head out with my mom here. But before I go, I do have a question that I don't like asking, but I'm just curious your guys' take, because you just mentioned Rodon having the highest value. If the Giants make moves, it's Rodon and Jock, right? These are the guys that that get shipped, right?
If they sell.
I mean, I don't want to see them go, but I'm also like, realistically, who else has the most value? I don't even want to say the word Brandon Crawford or Brandon Belt, but it's like, if we're really talking about, okay, this is not working, these are the names, right? There's not really,
no one's picking. No one's trading for Crawford just because of age and the wear and tear. But look, if I put on Farhan's hat right now, you only sell Rodon or Peterson. You got to have a hell of a return, right? None of this future third round draft pick and cash considerations or something like that.
No. It would be really ready to go, nearly ready to go talent, right?
Yeah.
Somebody that could play maybe even this season. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be really worth it. Because, right now the Giants are only two games out of a playoff spot. And again, we all know what can happen in the playoffs. So, they're not going to throw that shot away unless it's just overblown. Now, of course, when is the trade deadline? Didn't it move? Is it
August 2nd?
Yeah, it's instead of July, so it's August 2nd. So they still have after the All-Star
3 weeks, 2.5 weeks?
Probably 3 weeks of baseball, 20 games, something like that. So, if they find themselves suddenly 6, 7, 8 games back in the wild card, it really increases that chance of selling. But, if they're still hovering at two games or something like that, man, that's going to send a weird signal to the clubhouse, right? If you give away some of those guys. Now, I know this happens every year. There's always a team that's giving away or selling at the All-Star break or the trade deadline when they're kind of still in contention. And you hear a lot of rumblings from the players. I just think that would be a mistake. I think it would send that wrong signal to the clubhouse. But, if they're fading, if they continue this mediocrity or even worse, and they're sub 500 and well out of the race, then – You know, look, I almost say you have to really look at it and consider pulling the trigger because, you know, Peterson's only on a one-year contract. Yeah. Rodon is only on a one-year contract. So they're not, you know, you're just losing them for the rest of the year, which if you're not, you don't think you're going to make the playoffs, then why do you have them on your team?
Yeah, and all right, like how good are the Giants going to look to these guys if we're kind of a middling team, you know? I mean, we looked real good to a lot of people after 107 wins, right? But that shine is kind of wore off at this point. So, you know, I'm almost of a mind that as a fan of the Giants, and I know I will be for the rest of my life, I'm almost like, look, man, I'd be okay if we turned some of these contracts into future talent and within a few years, because we're getting to the point we're going to have to replace a lot of pieces, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Rodon, you know, like Doug points out, yeah, there's no chance he's coming back next year. I mean, I agree with that. I mean, I think his value has increased so much more. He's 29. He's been healthy. Yeah. He's having a hell of a year. You got Peterson with a $6 million contract. Here he is starting the All-Star game, having a near-career year. He's going to turn that
he's
into a multi-year
contract. He's
going to
command something. Yeah.
Yeah, so these are the kinds of contracts that Farhan is not going to sign. So, I mean, at this point, yeah, if they're starting to fade, do it. Pull the trigger.
Yep.
That's the key, though. It's if they fade. If they fade.
If they still hover.
Right. If they still hover around this 2-3 games back, I think they stand pat. I don't think ship Rodon off. I don't think they ship Peterson off. And obviously, if they start winning, they'll decide to add. I think the next 3 weeks are really, really important. The only time the Giants have off, though, is
where do you think we add? Because my instinct is the bullpen. But I think also right now it's like the offense is just so bad. It's like it feels like we need to add in a couple places if we're really going to make a push.
We've been talking all season about getting another right-handed bat because they don't really have a lot of great right-handed hitting and they struggle against left-handed starters. So you'd want to look for another right-handed bat for the outfield or something like that. And I'm with you on the bullpen and maybe a rotation piece. The loss of Disco can't be undersold. Oh, yeah. I mean, granted, he wasn't having a good year, but he was, you know, he's got the fifth highest salary on the payroll. He was projected to be a top three starter in this rotation. So if they think that they can make the playoffs, I could see them adding. But I think the most likely scenario is the Giants are going to keep middling along and they're not going to trade anybody. And they're just going to kind of stand pat. And I mean, there'll be a couple minor transactions that don't matter, but there ain't no Chris Bryant move coming this year. It's just not happening. There's no white flag trade from 1997 with the White Sox. That's not happening this time around.
On that note, I'm sad, and I will see you guys in the next episode.
All right.
And let's go Giants. Let's hope they can do something that makes it at least interesting to watch.
Right.
All right. Thanks, buddy.
All right, boys.
Good seeing you,
I'll see you guys next time.
Later.
That's Willie Dills. You can follow him on Twitter at Willie Dills. He's back in town in San Francisco from Austin. He was born and raised in San Francisco, and he's been in Austin the last 5 years or so. So, honestly, it's great to have him back. We had a good time at the game a couple of weeks ago, and we'll be having more. And, again, one of these games we really do need to set up a kind of get-together for other Giants fans, listeners, Giants chatter people, whomever might be interested. So I think that'd be a lot of fun. So we talked about Jake McGee, and then you just brought up Disco. I had that in my notes too. I mean, that's a huge blow. I mean, he had a great year last year, you know, near three ERA, was a solid starter, and he just hasn't been able to get over that ankle injury. And so he's on the 60-day IL and done for the year. Lamont Wade is back up, and we'll see. I thought it was interesting. You know, we've nicknamed him Late Night Lamont, and so far he's 0-for-9 in the ninth inning this year, so... Not really living up to that moniker right now. But
late night just now means that he started snoozing at the late night instead of instead of coming through.
Yeah, and he had opportunity last night too, late in the game. But you know, look, you can't expect a guy to hit 500 in the eighth or ninth inning his whole career. That's just not going to happen. Plus, he's still hasn't had a ton of at bats since he's come back. Joey Bart's back because of Casale's injury. Yermín Mercedes is up, and he just looks like he's trying to hit a home run every single swing, and yet he has none. I don't know. He's been interesting so far, but I don't think I've been able to see him enough to make any value judgments.
There's no real value judgments to make. He hasn't really done anything.
Yeah. I know he's hitting.
I mean, he hasn't done anything bad, but he hasn't done anything good either.
Yeah, he's just kind of there. He's just present in the lineup. So, and I know we just talked about potentially sellers at the deadline. And I agree, you and I seem to be on the same wavelength, is like, if they hover, they're not selling. But if they fade, you know, why not? Why not try to get something out of these 1-year contracts? These guys, they're not going to re-sign next year. So you might as well do that. It's interesting because we always known that Farhan doesn't sign the massive contracts. I mean, the biggest contract on the books right now was Tommy La Stella, right? It was like 3 years, whatever. Can't remember the value, but he doesn't sign long-term. And Rodon was an expensive contract, but only 1 year. So, I mean, Aaron Judge is not going to be any higher value than he is now. I mean, this dude is just insane. He is a video game right now. He's not quite in Barry Bonds territory, but he's getting there in terms of this year. And yeah, we all know he grew up a Giants fan and he would love to play for the Giants. That's not going to make him discount his salary. And even if he did, it would be like a couple million bucks. You know, it's not like, oh, I'll give the Giants a 50%, you know, discount. It's not going to happen.
Especially with California taxes.
Especially with the California income tax, right? He's more than at the top bracket. He's blown away the top bracket. So yeah, it's another like 12% of his income just gone off the top. So, I mean, a lot of fans are clamoring on social media, oh, they need to make a splash and sign Judge next year. I give that about the same chances as the same size comet that wiped out the dinosaurs hitting us right now. I mean, it's not going to happen.
I used to be on the side of that. And lately I'm starting to come around. I'll put the odds that the Giants actually land him at about 25%. I think there really is a possibility. I've heard some things that lead me to believe that he really, really, really wants to play for the Giants. It might be up to the Giants, though, and I think that might be the biggest catch to it. Like you said,
yeah,
a $3 million discount is not a big enough discount at this point to move, you know, to move the needle for the Giants in essence. But Farhan, you know, I wouldn't mind the approach of getting a big star and then complimenting him with other people. I mean, they went after Giancarlo Stanton that 1 year. They courted Bryce Harper. Right, exactly. And from what I heard, Bryce Harper was this close to signing with the Giants. He really was. He liked their offer. And then Philly came in and he just preferred that organization in the final end of it. So, I mean, it'd be great to get Judge, but, you know, I'll just say it's a 1 in 4 chance. That's what I think. I'm starting to have a little more faith that Judge is a possibility. I mean, he's a star in New York, absolutely, and he is leading a team on an amazing run. So, I mean, who wouldn't want to be the savior and be like, all right, let's go back to the hometown and do something that Barry never could do? You know, something like that. Granted, Judge grew up watching the 10, 12, and 14 teams, but they were different kind of teams than this. So I'd love to see Judge in a Giants uniform, though. That would be so fun. I mean, I don't care if they give him all the money. Give him a 7-year deal. I don't care. If he performs for 4 years, it's worth it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Some of these big contracts, they're always long. You know, I don't know who his agent is. I hope it's not Boris. Seems like they're always Boris, but
I don't think it is.
It is difficult to give someone a ridiculous sum of money. I mean, he's going to command, and I have not seen numbers. This is just my own opinions coming up from the ether. He's going to command minimum 30 to 35 million a year, like period. And so you multiply that by 7 and you're back up at that ridiculous, like over $250 million contract, you know, and you've seen it happen time and time and time again where, you know, they're almost always disasters, almost always contract disasters. But if you could get someone like a Judge good for 4 of 7 years, is it still worth it?
Right.
Maybe, you know, but you know, you have the Giants have been bit by that too with your Barry Zitos and what have you. You know, we've seen what happened with A-Rod and these other long-term contracts. Even the Albert Pujols one for, you know, the Angels wasn't fantastic. But man, that would be fun. That would be fun to see Aaron Judge in a Giants uniform. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, Mike Dowling in the comments does point out, if you want to compete with the Dodgers, Mets, and Braves, you got to spend some money. That's the way it is. And I agree to a certain extent. Obviously, they proved 1 year last year they could do 107 wins and get into the playoffs. But I just don't know if that's sustainable year in, year out, when you have that revolving door and the platoon situation where you're just going to have conflicts between players, fatigue from the players and the fan base, who are just like, I don't want to see these quad A players swapping positions every few innings. Like, I want to see at least, I want to buy an Aaron Judge jersey. I want to have him in the home run derby. I want to see him in the All-Star game. I want to have my kid latch on to a giant star for more than 1 year. You know, like, let's have that Buster Posey replacement, basically, you know, someone to take that mantle. Because again, yeah, Crawford and Belt are the veterans on this team and they're solid players. They're not the Buster Posey. They're not the Aaron Judges. They're not. They're just not those guys. And so, you know, I never did read that Bags article. I did see a lot of kerfuffle around it, shall we say.
Good word.
Bags is not afraid to point things out like that. And I'm sure management and ownership were not happy with the article. I just saw a couple highlights. I did not read it, so I don't want to judge it based on just what I heard. But he basically called the Giants management out a little bit, if I'm not mistaken, right?
He did. And we're not going to get into it. Just for the record,
no.
Paige Odell is Aaron Judge's agent. Somebody named Paige Odell. I don't know who that is, but it's not Scott Boras, thankfully.
Good.
As Doug just pointed out in the comments, look at that.
Yeah, it's not Boras. He's not Boras.
That's all I could think. Boras is busy. Oh, my Lord.
Boras is busy.
Yeah.
Man. So let's, I'm going to run through some transactions here. I'll try to keep it fairly quick, starting way back on June 23rd when we last recorded. I'm going to skip over a lot of these, of course. In that,
yeah, time, I was going to say, I was just about to message you. Let's not like dive into all of them.
No. Just Crawford went on and off the IL. Of course, we saw your mean Mercedes finally get called up from the minors after he was picked up from the DFA. Disco, of course, we mentioned him. Sean Jelly was up briefly. David VR, how about him? I mean, he's looked pretty good so far. I mean, what are you excited about him and kind of ambivalent towards him?
I'll say he's the kind of guy that looks like he has the tools. His first major league hit came in his first at bat. He hit a double to right field in Arizona, and I really thought it was going to get out when he hit it. He's got a good approach at the plate. Every now and then, the moment might be a little too big for him, but he's got the tools. You can see that he's got the hit tools, and you can see why the Giants would like a guy like that. And it was nice to see him hit his first career home run last Saturday in San Diego. And I think the Giants can expect more of that because he does drive the ball well to all fields.
Yeah. No, he looks pretty good fundamentally. I mean, in my short, you know, view.
He hasn't been great in the field, but who has?
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah, we saw Longo go back on the IL with the oblique strain. So we'll see how long that takes. Luis Gonzalez, of course, finally came back off the IL and his rehabilitation assignment in the minors. Jake Junis is now in the minors for rehab. Tom LaStella back on the IL, but this is the COVID-19 injured list. Estrada was removed from the IL, and he came back and hit a home run against the Padres. And then, of course, Jake McGee was DFA'd, and that's kind of the main highlights of the transactions and injuries thus far. So, I don't know, man. This team is was pretty excited about them a month ago, and definitely have tapered off. That said, there is so much baseball left, Eric. So much baseball. Yep. So, again, the sky is not falling. The Giants could easily, over the next few weeks, put a nice streak together, get right back in the middle of that wild card pack, and that's all they need to shoot for right now. Because, again, they've definitely dug themselves a hole as far as the division. That's just, you know, unless the Dodgers had the most monumental collapse, which that has happened in the past, they're not gaining 13 games on the Dodgers. They're just
no.
That is not.
This is not 1950. Yeah, this is not 1951. It's absolutely a wild card or bust scenario for the Giants. That's all they're going to look at. You know, it was interesting. They went 3-12 when Gonzo was on the shelf. I'm not saying Gonzo is the key that makes that engine run. It was just kind of interesting. Then that's when they tanked. And, you know, Doug just pointed out Eason, somebody I was going to mention. Eason Davis was put on the taxi squad yesterday. Yeah. And you have to wonder when they're going to give him a shot or who they're going to give him a shot for. He's a second baseman, from what I believe I read. And he's been tearing it up in the minors. So, you know,
what, 17 home runs in AAA or something like that?
Yeah. And, you know, the Giants, they're looking for a boost. They're looking for that injection of energy. I'll reference just Mike said that, too. They need an injection of energy, and they might be looking for that. But, you know, I mean, it's not moving the needle enough for a lot of us, and sure, even just to push the Giants over the edge. You know, you talked about it. We got what, five teams fighting for three playoff spots at this point, and it could even be six teams if another one decides to come up. So it's entirely possible that I mean, we know that's all the Giants are in for. The division's gone. It's not happening. It's just, you can't even, there's no way the Dodgers are going to drop 13 games over the span of 77 games. It's just not going to happen. So you have to just go for the wild card at this point and get in the tournament, which, to be fair, was our expectation at the start of the year.
That was, absolutely was. I mean, again, the Dodgers are always the favorites. They nipped them by only one game last year, and the Dodgers had their franchise tying record of 106 wins. So it took every win possible out of that team last year. They just squeezed every drop of blood out of that stone. And this year, it has not had that efficiency in that regard. And they've dropped so many games they would have won last year. And we talked about this pre-show. We definitely talked about this 2 weeks ago in our last show. The Giants flip-flopping the one-run records. Just absolutely atrocious this year. And we thought it was bad at 9-14 last episode. And what did they go do? They win their very first one-run game right after that. And then they lose four in a row. They lost four in a row, and they are now 10-18 in one-run games. Willie and I went to that 10th win. That was the 4-3 win. 10-18, Eric. I mean, again, even if you're 500 in that situation, right? Four games better. The Giants are two games up of the wild card, you know? So that's just, even being 500, they'd be in the middle of the pack of the wild card right now. So that's made the huge difference this year.
And that's the crazy thing. You know, we make last year comps, and it just happens because that was the first full season that we saw this Giants team under Kapler. And I mean, they won 107 games. You expect them to continue. But last year they went 31-17 in one run games. If you just split those 14 games in the difference, you know, put that, you know, take seven out of the equation, there's six games behind the Dodgers at the end of the season, which is just unbelievable. So that's just kind of the luck factor, I think, at this point. You know, we talk about all the time, all one-run games are not created equal. The game you guys went to, it was a one-run game, but it was a 4-0 game. It wasn't like it was 1-0 and then 2-1 and then 3-2 and that's how it ended. It was 4-0, and then the bullpen started to let things up. And that was it. And it became a one-run game, even though it really didn't feel like a one-run victory. And, you know, that's the regression to the mean. It's like, you know, mediocrity. It's the theme of everything with this team. It really, really is.
That's crazy. All right. Well, why are we going to win it all, Eric? Any ideas? There's still a contention. Let's do this.
Because the Phillies, don't have good pitching. They do have some good pitching, but their bullpen isn't as good, and their managerial stuff is in flux after firing Girardi. And I'll just throw the Phillies out there because they're the team, and I'll give credit to my buddy Rob Lewis on this. He was talking about this. They're the team that reminds me of the Giants the most is the Phillies. It's a bunch of DHs. That's what the Giants kind of are. It's a bunch of DHs. I mean, look at their fielding this year. It's a bunch of DHs. Mm-hmm. So I think that the Giants will make the right moves to obtain pitching, and they'll be able to pass teams like Philadelphia. So they'll win it all just because they'll get in the tournament and hit that hot streak.
Yeah, Philly is a team that I always saw kind of lurking well down below the wild card standings. And while I was gone on the cruise, it really was shocking to see not only the Giants play so poorly, but the Phillies pass them. I did not see that coming. I never thought that the Phillies would be passing San Francisco. Granted, this could be just a temporary thing. But yeah, no, that's a good take. I think that the Phillies won't sustain their recent winning ways and will fade. The Marlins have been playing a little bit better. They're starting to sneak up as well. The Cardinals and Brewers are battling it out in the Central, and one of those teams is going to be vying for the wild card position. And we know the Padres are going to be there as well. So
They're not going to Padre this year.
No, I don't think so either. I think the number one reason is their manager. They have a very competent, legitimate manager who will not let that happen. And if it starts to, he'll make adjustments. Things will happen. Words will be said. The Padres are going to be a force, I think, in the playoffs this year. I know the wild card always has the disadvantage being all three on the road. I get it. But, you know, the Padres definitely could make some noise. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, I think, you know, they could win it all. They're getting their funk out now. They're getting their funk out now, and they won't have this kind of funk the rest of the season. They may have a stretch of a week or two where they're playing 500, but I think they're going to play well above 500 the rest of the year. That's what's going to put them back into the wild card contention, and then they'll just take that and ride a hot streak into the playoffs. So that's what it is.
Like it's
just getting everything out now. That's all. That's all. Just June swoon, July it's funny. Goodbye.
June swoon didn't even come up during the last month. Like that used to be the thing. We'd enter June right. And we'd be like, oh, great. Here comes the June swoon. And then it happened and nobody actually chalked it up to that. I barely saw that phrase all month long. It was kind of weird.
I think because May was so crappy too. Like April was incredible. April was like the same, actually slightly better winning percentage than 107. So it was like, oh my God, this team is picking up right where they left off. No problems. And then May hit and then June hit and now we're into July and it's like, we've erased every single win from every single win from April. You know, whatever buffer was built up is gone, being one game over 500. I mean, in 2 days, it could be under 500 for all we know. I mean, that's just
for the first time since the first week of last season. That's what blows me away is that they've been over 500 that entire time. And, you know, which, like I said, is the longest streak in baseball right now. But they're definitely not the Yankees. We'll say that.
Yeah, Yankees are the juggernaut. But, you know, we've seen weirder things happen, right? The Seattle Mariners winning 100 and whatever it was, 17 games. And
16.
116 and then flailing out in the first round. So things happen. All right, well, coming up, we have six more games before the All-Star break. Two more versus Arizona and then four versus Milwaukee, which that's going to be another tough series. I mean, Arizona is not a tough series. They're just not playing well right now. But Milwaukee comes into town and, you know, it was really – really hard to watch the White Sox come in as a sub 500 team and sweep the Giants. I mean, that was just, whoa, what the hell happened there? So yeah, Doug points out in our conversation saying April was good, 14-7 in April and 29-36 since. So yeah, I mean a sub 500 team in over 2 months now. So it's not good at all. It's not good at all. But yeah, we're going to have a nice break at the All-Star game. We're definitely going to be recording, either on, probably on that Monday or Tuesday. We'll get back to you on that. Eric and I will consolidate and look at our schedules. But I mean, look, it's going to make Giants fans feel a lot better if the Giants at least go 4-2 over these next six games, you know, just get a little momentum, get something going into the break. But if they lay an egg and go 2-4 or God forbid worse than that, I mean, it's going to put such a cloud over this team, Eric, that coming out of the break is going to be difficult, especially heading towards the trading deadline.
Yeah, they'll become sellers a lot quicker if something like that happens. But, I mean, you mentioned it. Baseball is a long season, and there is still 1, 2, 3 weeks till the deadline, and there's only 3 days off for the Giants during that. So we're talking 18 games. So they have a few games to still assess what they have. If they show that they have the fight in them and can bounce back, then they could be looking to do it. The two important series are this four-gamer against Milwaukee over this weekend, and then after the break, they go to L.A. for four. And if they just get absolutely hammered in L.A. in those four games, that might be it for this Giants season.
They have so many games against most nationally West division opponents, but specifically the Dodgers, right? And some may say, oh, well, that's a great opportunity to get back into the division. At this point, 13 games back, it doesn't matter if they win most of those games. They're still not getting the division. And the Dodgers are one of the best teams out there, so it's going to be tough. The Giants have a lot of games against the Padres and Dodgers the rest of the year, these four against the Brewers. So, yeah, coming out of the gate, I did look at that, and I forgot to mention it. Four in LA. I mean, it does not get much harder than that, man. So they really need to put a few wins behind them, you know, coming up to the break, because it's gonna be hell coming out. But you know, look, the Giants swept the Dodgers last series, so you never know, right? Things happen. Yeah. You just can't figure this team out. You
can't predict baseball.
No, you cannot. You swept by the White Sox, and yet you sweep the Dodgers. Whatever.
Right. And the Dodgers got swept by the Pirates this year.
The Pirates, you know what I mean? Right? Like,
anything can happen any given Tuesday when it comes to baseball.
Any given Tuesday. Yeah, they should just start wearing those ugly city connects. Let's see what happens.
Well, it's Tuesday, so they'll probably win tonight.
They will be. So tonight, they'll probably win. Plus, you know, you got Logan Webb pitching too, so that could help as well. All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 257 of the Torchcast. You can follow us collectively at TorchCast on Twitter, like us on Facebook. You can find us there, or individually on Twitter at ChadK21 for myself, at Two Out Hits for Eric. That's with the number two. And at Willie Deals, who joined us earlier this broadcast. Glad he's back. You can also find everything that we post on torturecast.com. And of course, you can find this audio podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And Eric, of course, is still very active as an admin with Giants Chatter and doing his Sunday Coffee in the Cove every so often. What else you got going on?
I mean, not much. Just Giants Chatter, Coffee in the Cove on Sundays, live stream game series previews. We have some good writers over there with some good game recaps. So if you're tired of reading the same old crap from the beat writers and you want your game story with a little edge, come on over to Giants Chatter and read what we have to say with that. So that's about all I got to say. Hey, Doug's put a good group over there together.
Well, I will say, when I was on the boat, of course, I couldn't watch the games. I was super busy. But like late at night before I went to bed, I could catch up and look at the box scores and stuff. I couldn't watch video highlights. And then, you know, you look at the play-by-play. And then again, like you said, the story recaps are very sterile and like whatever. So I found myself actually going to Giants Chatter and going, oh, look at this. Doug or Eric or whomever had the game recap. And I like the touch of sarcasm and Giants fandom, but not like the sky is falling or we're the best team in the world. You know what I mean? I like the writing style and bringing out the little crucial moments in the game that the national writers don't necessarily focus on. Right. So I did enjoy that because it gave me, because I was so blacked out for Giants games, not physically, just I couldn't watch them. It was a good way to consume in a very quick fashion, kind of the feeling of the game, if you will, not just the score or the main hit or who won the game, but kind of like the game really turned here. This is what happened, or this fastball was just missed, or this happened, you know? So I've enjoyed those because I don't always read them because I'm watching the games, right?
Right.
But without having that knowledge or watching the game, it was good. It was a good way to get the recap. So good job, you guys. I enjoyed it.
Agreed.
All right, well, that'll do it. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week for a little all-star break and second half preview. And until then, take it easy, stay safe, and go Giants.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.